Braves, Bulldogs, Falcons, Yellow Jackets, Hawks, Eagles. From the heart of Georgia, it's the Bill Shank Show.
Hour number two of our broadcast. Welcome back, and thank you very much for being with us. I'm Bill Shank on the road back from Athens, as a matter of fact, almost in Madison, and I'll be traveling back, so I apologize for the phone call show today, but we'll work through it. I'll be in the studio a little bit later on in our broadcast. Thank you for your phone calls, talking with Rush. Right now, let's talk with Lauren Smith from the Georgia Bulldogs Radio Network. This segment with Lauren Smith is brought to you by ButlerCars.com. ButlerCars.com, the Butler family with great dealerships all over Middle Georgia. Any type of car you need that you are interested in, you can go online. That's the best way. ButlerCars.com. Lauren, good afternoon. How are you?
Very well, Bill, and I'm still on a high like everybody else in Athens. And, you know, I think I can say most everybody in the state, even the Auburn people were pulling for us in Indianapolis, don't you think?
I tell you, I do, and I just came through Athens, Lauren, and had to get a couple of things and met with our friend David Johnston for lunch and was talking with him, and I was asking him about what it's been like to be in Athens and Clark County in the last 9 days. Let me ask you the same question. I just was driving through there basically and stopped for about an hour or so. What's it been like there, and how crazy has it been?
Well, it has been exciting. Of course, it's not like it would be if it had taken place in Atlanta or Athens, but... adding to that, a lot of people drove to Indianapolis, so they had to get home. But I wasn't here, but they say the celebration in Athens the night of the game was unbelievable. It wasn't as cold here at that time as it had been in Indianapolis or was for the game. But I think the Georgia being the state university, the whole state takes a great paternal interest in the Bulldogs. They just really love Georgia. When I ride through the little towns in Georgia, I often get off the interstate just so I can enjoy the small town experience. I'm a big advocate of small towns. I'm a small town alumnus. And I see mailboxes painted with a G. I see pennants and banners hanging from barns and front porches and storefronts and trees. It's a red and black state, and people just like to show their pride. And then I think it was particularly enhanced, more over the top than normal, in that we took care of an old nemesis. And I think that people just really have a special interest in winning. It was a lot like the Braves. The Braves were denied the All-Star game, unfortunately, and then the Braves weren't the favorite by any means. And I've seen this happen before. It was this way in 1980. We did Bulldog Club meetings all over the state and just record number of people coming out to get Coach Dooley's autograph and to hear him talk. So when the Bulldogs win, the whole state gets in on the celebration.
Well, you know, you mentioned that, and I remember one time, as you know, Lauren, I'm from Waycross. Number one, I had someone ask me last week, even though I'm not in Waycross right now and haven't been about 6 weeks, if I thought that Waycross was an all-Georgia town, even though it's 37 miles from the state line. And I'm like, are you crazy? Are you drunk? Yes. It's a complete, as you know, Lauren, it is a complete UGA town. And even though it may be closer to Gainesville, it's not a Gator town or a Seminole town. But, you know, it's just amazing how many fans are impacted by this and how many people have waited for it for so long. And I tell you, I may have said this last week to you, but kind of like that Braves parade 10 weeks ago, we could have Georgia. They could start in Dalton and go all the way down to Valdosta, and every exit on 75 would be crowded as hell, wouldn't it?
Yeah, no question about it. Well, I've seen it for years because I've traveled the state. Since coming to Georgia, Dan McGill was so keen, the late, great Dan McGill. He kept preaching we're the majority party in the state, and that has to do with the fact that Georgia is a state university. And I've said this several times. I don't know if I happen to have said it already on this show, but essentially, if you didn't go to Georgia, your school teacher did, your lawyer did, your dentist did, your doctor did, your county agent did, your banker did, your accountant did. Just it has those connections in every town, in every county throughout the state. And when Dan originated the Bulldog Clubs in 1954, he organized the Bulldog Club in each of the 154 counties. Now, as time went by, a lot of them merged together, so Albany just had the coaches come there, and then the surrounding counties all joined in the celebration at a site in Albany. So McGill just knew what was important, and that was we underscore the fact that we are, Georgia is, the number one organization in the state when it comes to things like this. Dan and Coach Ease thought alike. Coach Butts was worried about finances, and he played games like Michigan. We didn't have to, I mean, they didn't have to return the game, sort of like one of the directional schools coming to Athens and playing. But Coach Ease said, we're going to play in Athens. We're going to play home games here. And then Vince came along and won his first year out, and before you knew it, the stadium was filling up. People couldn't wait to come see a game between the hedges. So Georgia's strength is in its people. And everywhere you go, there's a center of influence is populated by Georgia graduates.
Well, no question about that. And like I say, Lauren, when I meet an Auburn or someone who's an Auburn graduate, I ask them, well, that means you couldn't get into Georgia, right? So that's not our problem.
No, but those Auburn people are really pulling for.
Well, I guess they were. I think they were probably watching an Andy Griffith marathon last Monday night instead of the game. They were probably very torn between that for sure. Lauren, I actually just, as I said, left Athens and just did a stand-up at Sanford Stadium for television for tonight. And in that, I talked about what's to come now. We've harped on the 41-year stuff enough for crying out loud, but the boost from what this can do to give Kirby Smart the national championship on his resume. That was the last thing he didn't really have, Lauren. He had won every daggum major bowl game. He had beaten teams, of course, except for one. But to get over that hump now with recruiting and God knows fundraising, I mean, there's nothing better than to have that on your resume, is there?
No question about it. And the kids who were in our recruiting priority group, they had to love that celebration last Saturday morning. That's terrific. DJ Shockley was terrific. And then all the speakers, primarily Kirby, were really terrific. So it's just a great day for Georgia. And everybody is basking in the glory of that championship. And it'll carry on for months.
No question about it. Well, I guess we're still kind of waiting to figure out who's going to play quarterback in 2022, aren't we?
Well, I don't know what Stetson's plan is. I know his decision could affect some other decisions out there, so I don't know what he's thinking, but we don't worry about the future right now. We're just happy that he came our way and happy that he had that great game at the very end. What a beautiful story.
Now, Lauren, you know better. You know that an hour after that win last week, there were thousands of Georgia fans texting each other saying, okay, we've won. Now who's playing quarterback next year? You know how Georgia fans are crazy like that.
Well, I think all football fans would be doing the same. It's social media has made it such a wild set of circumstances. People are impatient to get the news. People are driven to have their opinion broadcast in every direction. Years ago, Bill, the value of a Bulldog Club meeting was that the coach would come and speak and you'd have a chance to meet him, talk to him. But now it's so different. I often realize that if Kirby coughs in Athens, before he clears his throat, it's on the Internet.
Yep.
So it's just so different now. And as a result, you get a lot of bitter that goes with the sweet. The sweet is you get good things said and spoken, but then there are some critics out there, so they get a voice too. And sometimes, unfortunately, a lot of people who are the most rabid critics really don't know enough to have a qualified opinion. That's just unfortunate, but they do it in most cases out of enthusiasm and love for the University of Georgia Bulldogs.
Well, I did last week, Lauren, as late as the mid-third quarter, have someone tweet me about why isn't JT Daniels playing. By the way, we've had that person deported, Lauren, so we don't have to worry about him anymore. But it is crazy sometimes, that is for sure. Well, it's going to be fun to kind of revel in the victory of what's happened. And a lot of people are going broke over this, all the swag they got to buy. I mean, I stopped by the Banner Herald to get me a poster of the front page with Stetson on it. And I told our good friends Fletcher Page and Ryan Dennis, I said, you people are breaking me. I'm broke after the Braves and Bulldogs won the titles. I don't have any money left.
Yeah, but think of the fun you had experiencing two big-time championships, the World Series and the Collegiate Championship. That's a wonderful experience to have enjoyed.
Oh, just a dream come true for so many people who love the Braves and the Bulldogs. Lauren, great stuff. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. See you later.
All right. Lauren Smith from the Georgia Bulldogs Radio Network. Brought to you by our good friends at ButlerCars.com, ButlerCars.com. Great Butler experience. They do a great job. And I'm telling you, shop online. That's what you have to do. No matter what kind of car you're really looking for, the Butler family of dealerships has it. They can help you out. You can contact them. They've got a chat service right there online as well. Go online, look at their selection of vehicles, and talk with the representatives online at butlercars.com. Well, I will talk about the future because the future is kind of what we have to deal with here. And review and preview is a big part of our show. And obviously with the number of people leaving Athens, including John Fitzpatrick last night, which was a little bit of a surprise, although I think with Oscar Delp coming in, we hope that he can be part of the equation for Georgia in 2022 and moving forward. You know, I tell you, the return of Nolan Smith is just so key for this football team. We knew that the front three were going to go. We knew Trayvon Walker, Vontae Wyatt, and also, of course, Jordan Davis were going to go. We knew that Jalen Carter, I think, was in place to get the snaps to be a significant part of the front three for Georgia in 2022. The linebackers, look, it's a hit. There's no question about it. When you lose N'Kobe Dean and Channing Tindall and Quay Walker, my Lord, I mean, that's just a lot of talent. But to have Robert Beal back, to have Nolan Smith back, is tremendous. And then to have Christopher Smith and Tyke come back, we don't know what really Tyke is going to be able to do. We can assume that he's going to be healthy, but as far as what role they're going to have for him, I think obviously William Poole coming back, what he did in the final couple of games, is a big lift for Georgia. Now, look, I'm not going to sit here on February or January, the whatever the heck it is, 19th, and tell you Georgia's going to win a national championship next year. I'm not. We don't even know who the heck's going to be playing quarterback. That's a big problem. I think we'll find out soon, obviously, what Stetson Bennett's going to do. But that question in itself leads us to a lot of uncertainty about the Georgia team for this coming season. But defensively, there are going to be a lot of people that are going to bury Georgia before the season starts because of all the people who are going to be drafted. And I get it. Look, those are the people who are mainly responsible for Georgia having a national championship. Defense still does win championships, and this Georgia team in 2021 proved it. They were outstanding. It was an incredible year for this defense, and we saw over and over in different games, particularly in the Michigan and the Alabama win, of how significant those players stepped up and what they did for this team. They still got a lot of talent. They still have a lot of talent. I mean, again, those players coming back is big. Jalen Carter, while not a starter, I don't know how many starts he had. He didn't have very many. I think he only had one, maybe. I don't have the numbers in front of me. Jalen Carter, though, had a lot of snaps. I think he had, if I remember correctly, the third most snaps on defense of anybody in the game against Alabama last Monday. So even though he's going to be a starter this year, it's not like he's never been a significant player on defense. Kind of like how Nolan Smith came into 2021, not really having a whole lot of starts, just maybe like one or two or three in his career at Georgia, yet he had played a lot because of the snaps that Kirby Smart gave him. So you've got Jalen Carter with the snaps. You've got people on that defensive front like Waltower and Loge and Stackhouse that are going to be counted on. They got playing time. And again, forgive me for not having the numbers in front of me, but those three that I just mentioned, they both, or all three of them, played over 10 games, if I remember correctly. So that's important. I mean, when you're talking about having to replace guys that were playing at such a high level that it helped your team win a national championship, it's vitally important to have some people back who did play a part in that team and also are not going to be totally overwhelmed when they go out there. Because, look, even though a lot of those players are not going to be back for 2022, the celebration of what happened last Monday is going to continue in the 2022 season. There's no question about the fact that those players that are returning for this year for Georgia from last year's team that won it all are going to experience a lot more than the players who are going to go on to the NFL, because they're still going to be in Athens. They're still going to kind of feel the residual effects for the championship. It's like I was talking with someone today about Freddie Freeman. One of the sad parts about the possibility of Freddie Freeman not returning to the Braves is that if he goes to the Dodgers, let's say, Freddie's not going to be able to enjoy all of the different things that are going to come from the championship that happened in 2021 if he's in a different uniform. It ain't going to happen, because I can promise you that before every one of the 81 games the Braves play at Truist Park, they're probably going to have some type of ceremony or first hit, and you can't ignore the fact that the 2021 season is going to be mentioned prominently on a daily basis. Well, the Georgia players who are returning for 2022 are going to feel that benefit. And that's a big thing as well. But, you know, the linebackers who are going to be taking over for N'Kobe Dean and competing, I should say, to take over for N'Kobe Dean and Channing Tindall and Clay Walker and those guys. Look, Smile Munden was a five-star player. Dumas Johnson was a five-star player. You've got MJ Sherman, a five-star player. And then Xavier Story. I was reminded of this over the weekend when I was looking this up. Xavier Story was a five-star player. You've got five linebackers right there who, by at least one of the recruiting services, were five-star prospects. Now, I know we get caught up in stars and everything here, but the point is, if you're going to be replacing players who played at that level for your team that won it all, you need prospects like that if they're going to step in to replace very established stars. I think that's the crucial part of this season for Georgia. Look, in the secondary, we know that Darian Kendrick and Lewis Seen are going to have to be replaced. You're going to have Nylon Green, and you're going to have, obviously, again, not knowing what Tyke Smith's role is going to be, and the others are going to have to step up. And look, they just signed the best cornerback class in the country. And you can't tell me that one of those freshmen are not going to be significant players for this team in 2022. They're going to have to be. They need those players to step up and, at the minimum, get snaps, if not start. But to have those players back is a big deal. So, you know, again, not knowing who the quarterback is a big deal. A big deal. But, Russ, I don't want people to forget about the fact that Kirby Smart has made an emphasis on keeping this defense rolling, kind of, so to speak, and to sustain the talent level. And, you know, they're not going to be as good as last year's defense is. That may take a year, may take two for all we know, to even come close to what this group did here this year. But it's not like they're going to go and have a Florida setback or an LSU setback. There's still going to be a lot of talent on this roster.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And you know, I go back to his first full recruiting class, and everybody was giddy about it. No, I mean, it was a really good class. I totally get that. But it's just like, no, you got to do that next year, too. And then you got to do it again and again and again. And that's what he's done for 6 years. And we talked about the depth on this roster, 1 through 85, how it never really quite been stacked like this before. And that's what you're building towards. Now, the statistically, this year's defense, you may never see that again. They were incredible. They really were, save for that one game against Alabama. But the thing is like, what's the drop off from that? I mean, okay, so now instead of 41-10, you're going to win 38-13. You know, it's just, I think it's going to keep rolling. You know, we talked about the schedule for next year. You've got the opener against Oregon, which is interesting because, I mean, you know, Dan Lanning's not he knows what to expect. You know, he knows how the sausage is made. So you've got that. But then, you know, Oregon loses their quarterback too. So it's just, I don't know. And the Ducks are going to be starting afresh and starting anew with a whole new staff. So I think Georgia will be the favorite in that game. The other two non-conference games are Kent State and Samford. They're going to win those games. Your other non-conference game is Georgia Tech. Mississippi State is the school that comes on from the West. Arkansas goes off. So, I mean, you still feel good about that. And as I've said, I think this will be my reminder for people if they start to get worried. And we all watched the Orange Bowl, and we all agree Georgia was dominant, and we all agree that game was over at halftime. Kentucky's the only team left on next year's schedule that kept the game closer, or that Michigan couldn't keep the game as close as. In other words, Georgia beat everybody else, Auburn, South Carolina, Tennessee, worse than they beat Michigan. So is there going to be a drop-off from that with this new defense? Yeah, but what's that going to be? And think about how far these other teams have to go. Now, I do think South Carolina and Tennessee in particular have gotten better. I think keeping Mark Stoops at Kentucky is huge for them. So the East does get tougher, but those schools still have a long way to go before they catch Georgia.
Yeah, I think so. They'll be competitive. And look, if Georgia screws around and has an off day, could they lose at Kentucky or at Tennessee? Maybe. I don't want to think about it. But, yeah, it's possible, yeah, because you got to believe they're going to be better. And you know Jacksonville. I don't give a damn what Billy Napier's going to have or what he won't have. We know that at the end of October what it's going to be like in Jacksonville. That's just the way it is. Yep. But I'm excited about, you know, the continuing story of this roster. And, you know, the coaching situation, you can't really feel like that's over yet, too. I mean, that could change as well, right?
Yeah, it could. You know, there's been, monk into the NFL rumors. I don't know if that's just people talking or if there's anything to it. But, you know, that's another thing, too, with all the you know, Kirby Smart, again, kind of coming from the Nick Saban tree. You look at what Saban does. He brings in analysts. Coaches move on. Analysts becomes coaches. I mean, we already know with Scott Cochran and what happened this year, Will Muschamp just kind of slid right in. If Todd Monken does move on, Mike Bobo's probably going to slide right in. I mean, that's part of being a top program in the 21st century. You know, it used to be you got to maintain your assistants, you got to keep your assistants, but now it's the top assistants want to come work in Tuscaloosa or Athens to build their resume to be able to move on somewhere else, and that's part of it.
Yeah, it is. This is part of the Lord. You know, Nick runs his coaches off every year, so I'm sure they're going to. Hey, you know, I kind of like just driving around. If I get a sponsor, I just drive around all the time. We can sit here and take phone calls from 3 to 7 and be good.
Yeah, if that makes you happy, make sure it's a gas company.
Yeah, no kidding. No, especially 312 is what I got it for today in Athens. I don't know what the heck that's all about, but I don't want to talk about it. But let's take a break, come back, take some phone calls. Russ, what do you say about that?
Yeah, that sounds like a plan. Let's open it up. 478-646-ESPN is the number. We've been talking a lot about Georgia here in this segment. We can do that, talk some mock draft, wherever you want to go in the world of sports. We'd love to hear from you. Back with more of the Bill Shank Show right after this. .427, Russ Brown back with you here on the Bill Shank Show. Bill joining us on the road, and we're taking your phone calls at 478-646-ESPN. And let's start with Greg in Warner Robins. Hey, Greg, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing? I got a couple comments. I've been a Bulldog fan since the early 60s, but I was a doubter that they were going to beat Alabama, and I got to say that eating my own words never tasted so good. Man, they were tasting great. And I want to know, going north, when we leave Warner Robins and go towards Macon, we can't get you on the radio. Are you going to hook up with a station where we can get you in the near future? That's it.
All right, Greg. Appreciate the call. Bill, I imagine there's a lot of people that, for whatever reason, Stetson Bennett or the Alabama deal, had their doubts, but a lot of people happy to eat that crow.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think it doesn't matter now. It's just you're glad you won. You're glad that it was able to turn out well for you, and it was just an unbelievable experience. People were still pinching themselves, and will for a long time. I mean, again, 41 years. The people who have never been born, or weren't born, rather, in 1980, have never experienced it in their lives. Those of us who were alive in 1980 never thought it might happen again because of the gap in between the time period, so it's unbelievable. And as far as the station, let me say this. We're finalizing our app. We are going to have an app really soon that you can to bring up anywhere in the world, for that matter, to listen to us on. So we're trying to finalize it, and we'll roll it out here as soon as we can, obviously, and it'll be even easier for everybody to listen to on our stations, even compared to the internet, just the regular old website of thesuperstations.com. But I think the app will help a great deal. And you know, right now we're on from Macon to down to Tipton, and we have several frequencies, obviously, with 93.1 in Macon and Winter Robins, 105.9 in Winter Robins, 98.3 from Perry all the way down to Cordele, and then from Cordele to Tifton and over to Fitzgerald. We have the other 93.1 WWKM. So we have a large area, and we're trying to work on expanding it more in the future.
There you go. Let's get back to the phones now. 478-646-ESPN. Kirkland and Macon, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on today, guy?
Not much. What's on your mind?
Hey, Kirkland.
Hey, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm good. I'm like you this time. I'm in the car.
Hey, you're always on the go, man. You're always on the go, man.
I know. That's just what a fan of a champion does, Kirkland, you know?
Hey, that's what we need from you, man. That go-getter spirit, man. That's it. That's what we need. Yeah. We need to stay in this town, man. Because without you, I don't know, it'll be the same kind of talk sport town, man. We need you here, man.
I appreciate that. What's on your mind today?
Hey, man, I mean, I talked to Russ about it earlier. Russ, did you find any more information about it? I mean, I sent you, like, those
yeah.
tweets and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy, though, man. People were fired up about that. And that thing with Stetson Bennett, man, if you got a championship quarterback, if he tries to leave, don't you just jump on his leg and say, please don't go, man. Come on, guy. This is a conversation.
I'll tell you, number one, Kirkland, I was kind of surprised that he didn't speak at the ceremony on Saturday. Were you? Did you notice that?
Yeah, I didn't see him speak at all, man, but it was awesome. That was awesome, Bill. That celebration was awesome, man.
It was great. I just think the quarterback of the team should have spoken, regardless of his status. I don't care if he's leaving or staying or whatever. I mean, maybe he didn't want to, but you know that stadium would have gone nuts if Stetson would have spoken in the crowd after they had already gotten fired up with Sawyer and Jordan. I just think it was a mistake. Whoever it was did not allow or have or whatever, however you want to term it, Stetson should have spoken. But, you know, the more I think about it, Kirkland, I mean, I've heard he's been bombarded with NIL deals this last week. So
yeah, of course.
How is he going to get more from another school if he leaves? I just don't know. That doesn't add up to me, does it?
Well, I think he wants to stay in Georgia, man. I know he's going to get the NIL deal all he wants. But I think he just wants them to feel something for him. What he just accomplished for the university, and you still got people running around here on Twitter talking about, just go out and walk on out and just be good with walking on out. No, let's get some more.
Well, and look, I've said since last week, if Stetson drops the mic and walks out stage right, I'll get it. You know, I will. I'll understand it because I don't know what more he could do. And the bad thing, Kirkland, is because of what that kid's gone through this year with all the criticism is I don't know how he can win unless he wins another national championship. If they go to the national championship game next year and lose in triple overtime and he throws for 6 touchdowns and doesn't throw an interception and they lose, guess whose fault it's going to be?
It's going to be Stetson's fault all the time. I just can't believe it. It's incredible. He just won the freaking national championship. It's incredible, man. I can't believe it.
Well, and look, I hope he comes back because I do not think JT Daniels is coming back. And, Russ, correct me if I'm wrong, he's still not officially in the portal yet, right, JT?
Hey, say that again. He's what?
JT Daniels is still not officially in the portal yet, correct?
No, and look, and I was looking into that. So he had last year when he transferred from USC, he used his waiver, so he'll have to have a degree to be eligible immediately. And from what I understand, that's going to require classes through the summer. So if he is indeed transferring, he won't be in that portal until later this summer, from what I understand.
Okay, so he used his, lack of a better term, COVID waiver last year then.
Well, yeah, well, because remember, the rule is with the portal, you get one transfer where you don't have to sit out. So he's already used that one.
Okay, all right. I didn't know, and I was a little unclear. Someone was asking me about this the other day, Russ, about, well, you know, when they passed that rule, but yet they gave others the extra year, you know, was that, when was his timetable? So, but I mean, I've read as well that he's on track to graduate, so he would be a graduate transfer. So I guess he can't go in the portal until then. But regardless, I think nobody believes he's going to continue to be on the roster. And therefore, you know, what do you want? Do you want a transfer in for 1 year? I mean, okay, if it's Caleb Williams, and I'm a little suspicious that Caleb Williams, Russ, has not gone ahead and announced he's transferring to USC to follow Lincoln Riley there. It makes me wonder about Georgia's influence in that. Okay, that's something you could convince me of, but if we're just going to sit around and wait for Gunnar Stockton or Arch Manning, Kirkland's right. They better be begging Stetson to stay for another year.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, look, they won the national championship with him as the quarterback. You know, I think, at least in the game against Oregon, I think early on the offense, they may need to lean on the offense a little bit more because I think you've got more experience there with the offensive line, with Brock Bowers, if Stetson is the quarterback. You know, and almost, I mean, this is a crazy thing to say about a guy that was just the offensive player of the game in the national championship game, but maybe that bridge to an Arch Manning, you know. And I think you've got enough in Brock Vandegrift and Gunnar Stockton, you're going to want to have competition. And is that enough to have that competition? And the Caleb Williams stuff is interesting because every day that goes by that he's not a USC Trojan, you kind of wonder about that because it seemed to me like that was a slam dunk. And it just makes you wonder, okay, what's taking so long, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, I you know, it sounds like he's going to follow Lincoln to California, but he hasn't yet, and why not? I mean, is he going to go? I mean, is Venables convincing to stay in Oklahoma? Is Kirk talking to him? I mean, obviously he can because he's in the portal. So, and you know, you never know about the NIL deals. I mean, let's be honest, that's part of it. It's not about trying to get a coach to commit to playing time. These guys want to get paid, and that's part of it too.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it, especially for the high-profile players like a Caleb Williams, because when he finally does make that decision, wherever it is, it's going to be news. There's no doubt about that. 478-646-ESPN. Let's go to Jeremy in Memphis. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Before I talk about the Falcons, I'm going to tell you, Billy, I really believe Arch is coming to Georgia. It's looking more like he may be headed to Athens. That's going to be some kind of quarterback room with Vandegrift, Stockton, and Manning.
What you reading? What's the scuttlebutt the last couple of days, Jeremy?
Well, I know they wouldn't saw him in his basketball game, and
right.
I think that went well. And I'm hearing a lot of people, being up here, North Mississippi, you know, a lot of Ole Miss people, and they're telling me it's a Texas Georgia battle for him. And if that's the case, I think he's going to go to Georgia.
Do you think Lane Kiffin is scaring the Mannings off a little bit?
I just think he wants to go somewhere where he can win the championship, and I think he likes Lane Kiffin. I just live an hour and 10 minutes from Ole Miss campus, so I hear a lot of Ole Miss stuff. But I think he likes Ole Miss, but I think he wants to go somewhere where he can win big. That's really what he's looking for. And so I think that's what's drawn him to the Alabama, Texas, and Georgias of the world.
Well, and if that's the case, it does make you think Georgia's got a good chance. And there's no question in my mind that Kirby wants this kid. Who wouldn't? I mean, you know, I don't like his family very much, as we all know. But, I mean, if he's a great quarterback prospect, of course, I'd love for him to go to the University of Georgia. I think it'd be neat to have a player of that stature come to UGA. And, you know, with that would bring a tremendous amount of credibility and also other players with him, because that's the kind of player that can convince five-star receivers or five-star left tackles that, you know, he wants them to play with him. So it could be a huge deal. And you know, that. But Jeremy, don't you agree that's what makes the Stetson thing kind of interesting in that, okay, if Kirby thinks he's got a 5% chance or even higher to get Arch Manning, and even if Gunnar Stockton may be the real deal, you got to kind of have a bridge to that. And I think the overwhelming favorite, well, I shouldn't say that. I mean, maybe not. Maybe most people would want JT Daniels back, but heck, I just want Stetson back. To me, it makes more sense for him to be that bridge guy, doesn't it?
Well, if he does that, then you just think that Manning and Stockton and Vandergrift just fight it out and the best one wins. Although I think Kirby pressure to play Manning early, but you gotta play the guy that wins the job.
Right. You've got to play the guy that wins the job. And you know, you look back on how, for example, Matthew Stafford was treated. We all knew that Matthew Stafford was the most talented player on the roster, any position really, by the time he got to Athens. But you knew he wasn't going to be able to play the first week. So, I mean, that would be interesting to see how that would shake out. But, you know, that's the thing, Jeremy. Caleb Williams throws a monkey in the wrench, doesn't he?
He does. He does. And I think he's going to USC. But the only interesting thing, like you said, is why hasn't he announced anything yet? That's what makes it really interesting in the situation.
Yeah, I mean, you know. If Caleb comes, then, all right, Brock's pissed because we're going to know that Caleb, barring injuries, the Georgia quarterback for the next 2 years. So Brock's pissed. Carson, we expect and assume, is gone. And Gunner's going to say, okay, well, that means the earliest I could get the job is my redshirt sophomore season, I guess, barring injury. And then, you know, then I guess – Arch would have to know he's probably not going to be the quarterback his first year. So, you know, it would be interesting. But that's it. What does Kirby do? If I mean, you know, Kirby wants to win in 2022, and he may think Caleb gives him that best chance, Jeremy.
Oh, I think if he can get him, that he'll definitely try to get him. And then one thing on the Falcons bill here, I mentioned it to Russ today about Grady Jarrett. I think with just 1 year left on his contract next year and the fact that Atlanta's not going to be very good next year, there's absolutely zero reason to keep him. And when you look, we've talked about this year's schedule a lot. I mean, they played the Giants, Washington, Jacksonville, Detroit. Anybody that sucked was on Georgia's schedule this year. It is what it is. But next year, if you look at their schedule, I looked at it today, they play at Baltimore, at Cincinnati, at the Rams, at Seattle is a tough place to play. They host San Francisco. They host Pittsburgh. They host the Chargers. I mean, their schedule is brutal next year. I mean, it's maybe the toughest in the league next year. So they'll be lucky more than to win four or five games. And if Grady's not going to help you get to the playoffs next year, with that schedule, there's no reason to keep him.
No, I don't think so either. And I just, at this point, I'd rather have draft picks. I mean, it is what it is with his contract status. I'd rather have a draft pick than Calvin Ridley. I'd rather have a draft pick than Grady Jarrett. Love what he's done. He's been great. This program and this team, rather, is in a different place right now, and they just need draft picks. They need new players. They need a fresh start. They need a fresh direction, and that's only going to come with young players. And you know, I mean, I don't think they're going to be able to, but once they – do have an opportunity to spend on free agents. I hope they don't get in even more salary cap hell. You know, be careful. I'll be fine with waiting if this team can be really damn good in 2025. I can deal with three more mediocre seasons, but don't go try to win quick and get themselves in even worse trouble because of the salary cap. That doesn't matter as much in other leagues, but NFL, Jeremy, it'll kill you.
Yeah, if you could trade Ridley, Jarrett, and even Matthews this all season, you would get a bunch of draft picks for those three guys, and that's what you got to do. You got to unload, because next year you're going to be terrible with the tough schedule.
Yeah, that's alarming, that schedule. They're not going to – if they're 7-10 next year, they're going to be better at it than they were this year, aren't they?
Oh, I mean, with this schedule, it's got to be the toughest in the league. If they win seven next year, they'll be very much improved.
Absolutely. Hey, Jeremy, thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Go ahead, Russ.
Yeah, I was going to say that, you know, last week I spent a lot of time thinking to myself, you know, I'm glad Georgia won because of .. But now I'm starting to get, I wish Georgia hadn't won because Arch Manning was supposed to break the streak.
Yeah, you're disappointed by that, aren't you?
Yeah, Manning was supposed to save the day for you, but I guess he could bring home number two for Kirby.
That's right. Well, you know, look, that's going to be a storyline. There's no question about that, right? It's until he decides where he's going to go and signs on the dotted line. But you have a prospect of that caliber. I've lived for, you know, 30 years in watching recruiting very closely, and I was alive when Herschel Walker was recruited and how big that was. And I do remember as a 10-year-old child, Ducky Wall on Channel 10 in Albany saying Herschel Walker is a Georgia Bulldog. And even at 10, I knew exactly who Herschel Walker was. It was that loud, Russ. Can you imagine with the lack of media how loud even then it was? But I've gone through Eric Zier and the different stars that have been recruiting battles. I mean, Russ, Eric Zier was a huge prospect for UGA.
I remember that.
You know, our Arch is going to be even bigger, no question.
No doubt about that. We got to take a break. 478-646 ESPN. We'd love to hear from you. Back with more on the Bill Shank Show right after this. About 10 minutes to the top of the hour here, back on the Bill Shank Show. Russ Brown with you, and Bill Shank's joining us via the road, and we're taking your phone calls at 478-646-ESPN. I guess I'm kind of burying this in a shorter segment, Bill, because it's frustrating, but I haven't seen any news on Major League Baseball's lockout. I know there were the international signings and some things of that nature, but we had the brief meeting where Major League Baseball made a proposal, and I haven't seen anything about a players' union counter, have you?
No, and it's incredible, Russ. And it's not very smart for a sports talk show host to say, I don't know what to say. Yeah. You know, it's embarrassing. It is incredible that we are. I looked on my calendar a little while ago on my phone, and 4 weeks from today, Russ, is February the 16th. Mm. And I think by February 16th, most Major League Baseball teams would be reporting at least pitchers and catchers and perhaps even position players. I looked last week, and it was like two of the 30 teams had, in fact, announced already that February 15th was their date. So we're talking about basically 4 weeks before what should be the start of spring training. And Russ and I every year are so excited to count down to the amount of days until pitchers and catchers report. It's just what a baseball fan does. And you know, we're not going to be able to get that. And I think now from the people I've spoken to in the game, the few people I've spoken to, let's go ahead and think that March 1st is going to be the reporting date. Let's go ahead and forget about the last 2 weeks of February and pray to God that by February 28th or March 1st, this thing can be settled. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, you think about this, Russ. All right, let's say February 28th, they have an agreement. Well, even though most players will probably be at their spring training locations just in case, you still have to give them 5 to 7 days, the rest of the Players Association, let's say, to report. You can't just say, all right, we've got a deal on February 28th to get March 3rd to report. Now, we'll encourage you to come on in, but you got to give them some time. And the fact that I think there's 180 free agents still out there on the roster. I mean, Jim Bowden wrote last week in an article on The Athletic, Russ, that when Major League Baseball, and we said this is not anything new, but it was just written by another national reporter, when Major League Baseball comes to its agreement, there's going to be a whirlwind of Major League Baseball moves with trades and free agent signings, the likes that we have never seen, and it will rival and probably surpass, Russ, what it's like when the NBA and the NFL both start their free agency / trade periods on their calendars. And so, you know, that's going to mean that spring training is going to be in flux, and there's going to be people coming in and out. When are you going to report? I mean, Rob Manfred has created a mess that I don't know how, again, 4 weeks from now, and that means that, you know, the beginning of March is 6 weeks away, I don't know how it could be avoided.
Yeah, I don't either, and there's because there seems to be no sense of urgency, and I don't know what's going to create that for these talks. And I'll be honest, when I hear you say March 1st, I'm like, all right, I would take that in a heartbeat, because right now I'm afraid they're going to miss regular season games, and that just that cannot happen. It just absolutely can't happen. It would be devastating for the sport. I just don't think. I mean, I think for diehards like you and me and others that love the Atlanta Braves, that the Braves are playing baseball and they don't get to the on the field until Memorial Day. I mean, we're going to watch the Atlanta Braves play baseball, right? But for that casual fan, I just think they're going to do some damage to the sport that's going to be tough to undo if they miss regular season games.
Majority of people in this world are paycheck to paycheck people, and when they hear millionaires and billionaires in a pissing match, mm-hmm. they lose interest really quick, Russ.
No doubt about it. There's no doubt about that. It's just it's frustrating. I mean, we're still in limbo with the Freddie Freeman stuff, of course, as Braves fans. And, you know, I'm so glad the Braves won the World Series, because I think my feeling, especially with Freddie being in limbo, would be a lot different if we didn't have that in our back pocket. It definitely helps to have to go through this as a world champ, that's for sure.
Yeah, there's a lot for that team to do, though, when they get back, and that's going to be first on the agenda, right? They got to, because they're going to have to construct their team, even though it'll probably all happen in a couple of days, Russ. If Freddie's still holding out for a 6 year and they're still saying no, you may want to plan for a new first baseman in 2022.
No doubt about it. 478-646 ESPN's the number. We'd love to hear from you as we roll along here into hour number 3. You're listening to The Bill Shanks Show.